mobility for a while, or strength, or VO2 max, or whatever.
Let's just clarify, I'm never going to concentrate on mobility. It's probably never going to happen.
Fair.
I'm always going to go to someone for them to work on my body so they can work on it for me.
I'm going to begrudgingly do it because I know it will help something else. But yeah, I'm never going to focus on that either.
I'm never going to sit down on this ground and actually do any type of stretching whatsoever. Welcome to Beyond the Gym. Join me, Kevin Wallace, along with Bob Sanders and Kristen Fitzsimmons. We are workout partners and great friends who enjoy a good AMRAP and great conversation. Join us in a post-workout bourbon as we talk fitness, life, and wherever a good conversation takes us. Okay, well, welcome.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Good. How's everyone doing?
Good.
So this is episode 4. And this episode, we don't have a guest, which is great.
Yep.
We want to get back into those good conversations that we always have. And today we're going to be talking about aging and fitness. And I think it's a great conversation based off of who we are, the ages of us, and definitely our fitness backgrounds. I think we've all learned a lot in our fitness journey with aging, so I'm really interested to hear our thoughts and our comments about what we've experienced and what we've seen. And I'm really excited about this conversation. I've been really excited since our last episode to do another one.
Yeah, it's the topic is appropriate right now, but we like to start our podcast with a bourbon. I brought Buffalo Trace to the podcast. As usual, I have ice in mine. I like to cheers to aging and fitness
and bourbon.
And bourbon.
Cheers.
Yes, it's a lovely bourbon.
It's very, great.
Very
this
good.
This is kind of a house favorite at the Sanders. No,
it is.
Yeah, you often have this one around.
Yeah, love it. Love it. It's very, very, very good. Yeah.
When were you first introduced to it?
Probably about 5 or 6 years ago through a buddy of mine. And then I always had a bottle around. And I was gifted this bottle from CrossFit Strathroy.
Hmm.
And
this is an extra special one then.
Yeah.
He didn't mention that. You didn't say that.
No.
That's amazing.
The amazing thing is that it's a bourbon that I really enjoy. And I had the opportunity, we can chat sometime about it. I had the opportunity to participate in their gym for 5 weeks-ish back in the summer. And it was tough to say goodbye with everybody. And I was given a gift of Buffalo Trace bourbon from Sherry and the staff and the members there, and that was super cool. So the bottle means a lot to me, and cheers to Sherry and her team at CrossFit Strathroy. And I just thought it was cool because I liked the bourbon, and then that was the bourbon they got me. So it's cool.
That makes it taste even better.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing such a special bottle. That's really nice.
Yeah. Very much.
Well, I guess that leads us
into our workout.
Yeah, we're into our workout now, right?
Yeah.
Which is going to lead us into our podcast.
Sort of. Or sort of a lack thereof.
So every time that I think that I know how things are going to go for a recording, it goes a different way. So I'm like, cool, it's my night to introduce the workout. I'm going to make sure that I take a screenshot of the whiteboard when I'm out there. I know that it's going to be an assault bike. I know that it's going to be the dead hangs. Like, I got this. I can talk about the workout. It's Thursday.
I know what this is going to look like. Kevin sent me the workout whole plan.
Yeah.
Bob doesn't want to see it, but I do.
Yeah. And so 10 minutes before the workout is going to start, Bob and I are setting up, and Kevin's like, so, workout tonight? Like, what are you guys feeling? Are we going to do a workout? So, tonight was a different night for us.
It was.
I don't know. It doesn't happen very often, if ever, but Bob isn't feeling 100%. He's coming off a cold.
No.
And, yeah.
So, yes, you might hear me cough in the background.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we kind of had a bit of a different workout tonight. We cut it short. We kept it to 30 minutes. Bob just needed to sweat a little bit,
yep.
Move,
yep.
Stretch a bit.
Yeah.
And I was okay with that. So I kind of did the same thing. I did the dead hangs and the farmer carries that we've normally been doing on Thursday nights. And
yeah,
those were fine. Kevin actually ate his supper.
I was hungry.
Yep. Yep. And so we just kind of readjusted the plan. So
it was good.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good. I think it was, you know, we're recording this in the middle of January,
mm-hmm.
and it's been snowing for 5 days nonstop.
Like, closed down the region.
Like, closed down the region days, snowing. Yeah.
Well, the buses have closed down the region.
Closed down the region.
Bus companies.
There's been a lack of sunshine. And lots of illnesses are going around and things like that, and I'm coming off of a cold, and I needed to sweat it out. So some assault bike and sit ups and crunches and Russian twists and a few dumbbell curls and things like that, just to keep moving and shake the body up, and I sweat, and it was great.
Yeah,
it was just what I needed.
So I think it's big to let everyone know that we are in recovery week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So if this was not a normal mm-hmm. week, because this is a normal week in our program, that every third week is recovery week. And usually we lower the percentages of our weights, we lower the intensity of the workouts, et cetera, et cetera. But sometimes recovery week doesn't mean just doing that. Sometimes it's nothing, right? Sometimes it's just giving your body that break that it needs. And like, I know for myself right now, like it's funny because I've talked to a lot of people about January. We've had conversations. People hate January, right? January's shitty weather, not a lot of sunshine. You're still on that 17 week hangover from Christmas, because Christmas is the best time of the year. And for me, it's always my busiest time of the year,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I'm mentally and physically exhausted right now because
mm-hmm.
work, lot, big training program for what we're running, the gym, mm-hmm. everyone's all jacked right up because they want to get back to the gym. They want to hit some goals. I've got people that have increased their times or their frequency in the gym. And then hockey is on full board with the hockey team. And some things have happened with our hockey team that we're regrouping and getting back into it, which causes or takes a lot of effort and energy. So it was like tonight I was ready to work out. If you guys would have been like, let's go, I would have been like, yeah, let's go. I probably would have just worked at my, you know, 50 to 60% capacity.
Yep.
But I could see it's funny because you read the room really well. And I came down and you guys are setting everything up. I'm like, Bob doesn't look 100% into this right now. And you just kind of feel it. I mean, sometimes it's like about reading the people too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that Kristen and I will be up at 4:30 in the morning and be ready to go. But yeah, sometimes you just,
yeah.
I'm not so good at that.
No, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's something I'm trying to work on. I don't know why I resist it so much, but I, even when I recognize like, oh, my body didn't feel great when I did the Tuesday workout, and it didn't feel great when I worked out yesterday, but I was coming here tonight to like give her, right? And if you hadn't said anything, I would have. And like, really, this is what my body needed, but I wasn't gonna say anything. And not because there'd be any judgment from you. It's like all self-induced, but I need to keep working on listening to my body.
Because if you didn't say anything tonight, then I would have been out there ready to go against what I felt physically, just how I felt.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately I would have just liked to have done what I did tonight. But if you didn't say anything, then I would have, okay, what's the program? And away you go. And it is trying to, yeah, it's trying to, I think we all struggle with trying to listen to your body. And, you know, when we have weeks like this, when you're reducing, you know, the weight or the capacity and things like that, I appreciate that schedule because it forces me, I think it forces us into that. And it is a it's a component of you know, giving your body some respect and rest, yeah. You know, so you can start to, you know, back, not that you're back on the off the program, but start to build again. And you have to, you know, especially aging, if we chat about tonight, is you have to listen to your body.
I know it's silly, but honestly, having you rebrand it, or like call it reload instead of recovery, has made a big difference for me. And that's silly. Like, that really does seem silly to me, but it does help.
Yeah. No. So I think it's, I don't think you're wrong in your thought process on it, because whenever anyone says deload, I don't even want to show up half the time when I say deload. Like, yeah.
Or recovery. I don't really like that either. Recovery week, deload week.
It's, why do I need to recover?
Yeah.
Do I need to reload? 100%. And there's times in life where, when we talk about, like, if you get into some information on like flow state and how to establish flow state, and when you go, like, I remember going on military exercises or whatever, missions, like, there's always a time frame that you kind of have to take like a step back to regenerate, to be ready to go. And it's not, it's not recovery or deload. You're really reloading for yourself for whatever's going to come next. And I think it's cool, because everyone always talks about how fitness is an individual sport or individual thing, where we're starting to become the team. Like, I would have worked out and I was jacked up to work out, but then I also come down and you can read the room a little bit. Like, and it's like when any other team, like when I'm coaching hockey, like, I can read the room when, hey, we need a light practice, or people are frustrated, or whatever. And it was the same thing tonight. And I know, Bob, it's happened for you and I, and I know, Kristen, not as frequently, but it's happened where you're just like, nah, we just need to roll through the motions tonight, because you're like, we can't even bend over and pick up a 2.5 pound weight. Okay. Mm-hmm. We probably shouldn't be doing certain things. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great, because it's starting to become that team environment that we trust each other, but we also know the program enough that, like, we know after reload, next Monday, Tuesday isn't going to be a cakewalk. Next Monday, Tuesday is going to be intense. So you know that you're like, okay, cool, I'll take a reload. Yeah. I'll be ready to go. We'll work out tomorrow morning, and we'll get a good amount of sleep. Work out tomorrow morning at 4:30.
And I think reload is also good mentally as well. Because when we've had what we would call deload, I always got super pumped about that week, because it was, you kind of chill down a little bit, and maybe you weren't feeling up to it or whatever. Maybe we had gone through, you know, a couple weeks of building up, and I always found that deload, not just physically, but mentally, was a step back, a little bit of a breather. You know, it was sort of, it kind of chilled out a little bit. And when you, the following week, when you get back onto building in the program, you're that much more, I would find for me, I would be that much more motivated into getting back at that and starting to build, because you just felt fresh.
I think as you get a little bit older in your fitness journey, you start to learn things. Like, I didn't take deload weeks for years. Like, I pounded and pounded and pounded. And I think that's the military side of things in the job that I did, was like, you always need to be ready. Mm-hmm. So I remember going to the gym at 5 a.m. in the morning, crushing a CrossFit workout, getting there, loading up my aircraft, going out for the day, hitting you know, maybe doing a few jumps and and whatever, some drops. Going home, saying hi to Michelle and the kids, 7:30, back in the gym, crushing big workouts, and just that was on repeat. And the only rest that I would take was when I physically just couldn't move. And I think it was around 2010 where I started noticing, because it's the combination between like working out was a big part of my life, but like the job that I was doing at the time was physically demanding. And I remember the first time I ever noticed my back was I was trying to walk down the stairs and I was like crooked. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And then I was like, okay, I got to start doing some research on rest. And I just mentally couldn't come with the terms until the last so many years with deload.
Mm-hmm.
It was just push mm-hmm. until it broke. And then when it broke, that was when I rest. But that's the wrong philosophy to take. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I found... You know, I got involved in CrossFit, which, I don't know, like eight years ago, I guess. Now, I actually don't remember. Long time ago. And
so you would have been in your 50s?
In my 50s.
Yep.
So I'm 63. Yeah, and I remember, you know, I've hit and miss, you know, frequent... You know, you go sporadically, hit and miss the gym and different things like that. And when I got involved with CrossFit and got involved more and more and just basically became obsessed with it, and you start to see your physical changes and the community and just a whole new thing. And I have a bit of a personality that, you know, sort of get obsessed with stuff and kind of all in. And And you know, you're surrounded by like-minded people. We're from all different walks of life. And, you know, 4 days a week would lead to 5 days a week, would lead to 6 days a week, which would lead to sometimes 7 days a week. And I always found those aches and pains I still today call it a badge of honor. I sort of say it tongue-in-cheek. But I would... You know, friends of mine and people that I work with, we were also involved. And, you know, the next day we'd compare our aches and pains. You know, how's your shoulder? You know, oh, yeah, we were doing this. You talk about the workout, which we still do today. But our favorite physiotherapist, Carrie, I remember, you know, frequenting her to keep me... You know, it's mobile and as healthy as possible, so I could get back at it and things like that. And I remember she said to me once, you know, it is okay to take a day or two off. And I was so worried that I can't do that. And it really is it's been through COVID, you're forced to. And now I respect the fact, and I also older and things like that. Not that that's not an excuse or anything, but I respect my body way more than I did, pre-COVID. Like I would go all the time, as much as I could, as hard as I could, no matter what my body was telling me. And that's not just an ache or pain. My body could just be tired, or my brain was tired, you know, from you just needed a break. And I listen to my body more. I still struggle a little bit with it, but I do listen to it more. Just through those experiences where if you're just tired, or if you've got an ache or a pain and you take a couple days off, it's like the deload, and you go back and you're like, oh, that was pretty cool. I didn't lose anything. In fact, I feel better, and I will gain that much more. But I think it's, for some people, I think it's hard to listen to your body because you can get obsessed with certain forms of workouts or types of fitness.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's probably like good advice or good practice for people of any age, but I, and maybe Kevin can speak to this more because, I didn't come to like, not that what I do now is serious, but like I didn't come to serious fitness until quite a bit later, right? Like I would say that I've always tried to exercise a little bit or be active, but like, yeah, not until in my 40s did I really start to take it. I'm doing air quotes now, do like Kevin, seriously.
Yeah.
But I think that would probably be a good practice for when you're younger too, but maybe your body just is that much more forgiving that you can get away without doing it, right? So Kevin could have a physically demanding job and really not listen to his body with workouts when he was younger, but then it gets to the point where, yeah, your body maybe isn't as forgiving anymore and you kind of have to. Do you think that's...
So I got a question for you, for both of you. And so go back to when you first started working out and what was your goal and what do you want to get out of fitness when you were, where you first started working out? Tell me about the changes in your goals throughout your fitness journey. And then tell me what your goals in fitness are. What do you expect to get out of fitness? Because I know mine have changed over the years and I have distinct time frames of when they change and I can tell you exactly. So I'm interested to hear that. So I want to know, like, yeah, what were your goals and what, like, why did you work out? Like, what was your reasoning for showing up at the gym when you first started? What was the certain changes within your, what you were trying to get out of it? And what is it now?
Well, I mean, I've always been a very active person, playing, you know, different sports, soccer, things like that. Always trying to be involved in sports and different things like that. But I had no physical activity from hitting the gym. And I would show up, you know, with adult soccer or whatever it is, and, you know, run for 10 minutes and I'd be exhausted, but, you know, although I played keeper, so I didn't do a lot of running. Maybe that was,
that's probably your problem. You just play, goalies don't run.
and, you know, I've always been on that roller coaster of getting to the gym, name the gym, I've been there. And I have zero willpower. And when I was introduced to CrossFit in various forms, we had a gym at work, and we were extremely fortunate to have an hour a week with a CrossFit trainer, which was Chris. And I remember I remember the very first day, and I got this all day long, and I remember he put me through this test, and it was everything from, you know, sit-ups and push-ups and squats and just different things. And I remember it was awful trying to get to the third push-up, and I remember I think I got to about, you know,
I thought you were gonna say third set.
Yeah.
But you said third push-up. Okay.
And I remember, you know, getting to I think around the 10th sit-up, and I wanted somebody to take a hammer to my back, like it was tightening up. It was terrible, and it was really hard, and it was a real eye opener. But I also had the right person there, you know, to talk about it, and obviously no judgment or anything like that. And I was overweight. Back then, I I was about 208, and it took, you know, I was still going while I was doing that. I was still going to another gym 3 mornings a week, kind of doing my thing, and nothing over the top. And he convinced me to come to his gym. I went, no, I was nervous, like, to go into a class setting. And it's like, no, I don't think I could do that. And I remember the very first day that I showed up, it was like, oh, there's no way. And then just gradually, and then through, you know, a very short period of time, you know, I remember Chris would say, you know, let's set some goals and where do you want to be? And I said to him, I said, I just want to be healthy. And I said, I'm, you know, if I lose weight, I lose weight. I would like to. I don't know where I want to go with that. And I went from 208 to 190, then to 185, and I felt incredibly good. Like I just felt good about everything I was doing. Because you see results, right? It's all about, and everybody's different, and I was typically a 185 pound person. I'm 6'1", and that's just where I was at, and I could see the results, and people would comment, right? Like, man, you look good, or what are you doing? And I'd be very proud to say, you know, I was very happy of what I was doing. And then you fast forward to today. And, you know, I'm that much older, and I approach it very, very, very differently, because now it's not just about myself. It's about, you know, making sure I'm healthy for people around me. That's my family, you know, my kids, my grandkids, my wife, you know, I like friends, you know, through health challenges, you know, what fitness can do for you to overcome certain health challenges and things like that. And I know how important it is for my life and personally, professionally, you know, with my career and things like that, and how it just makes you how it makes you feel mentally and physically.
I thought it was funny when you said, like, when you first started, wasn't there for, I just wanted to feel healthy, right? Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed the pain and, like, how my body was sore. Mm-hmm. And it's just so contradicting, because it's like, I want to be healthy, but then you got addicted to, like, that CrossFit muscle soreness pain, and, like, mm-hmm. the tearing of the hands was like I remember when you tear your hand and be like, yeah, look at this blood blister. And my callus just ripped off. And
I take pictures of my hands and post it on Instagram, because I thought it was just like,
but that was,
you know.
And your first thing was to come in to be healthy. And then, because I think we've all experienced that addiction to that.
Yeah.
So, like, even in that, you know, when I listen to your story, is you went there to be healthy, and then you got into, like, I want to be a badass, mm-hmm. right? You started feeling good. You want to be a badass, and you start getting it. Like, that almost became, because I remember when I first met you, like, it was, and we've talked about this a couple times. It was Bob Sanders, badass. He's a fire breather. You got addicted. So your goal actually changed without even really identifying that. Yeah. You probably did identify it, but and then now, you know,
you're it also became a sport to me.
Yeah.
You know, it, you know, I never thought at any aspect of my life did I thought I would compete in anything, whether it was lifting or you know, the CrossFit Open or any kind of a Festivus competition, anything like that. Never thought, but you know, it opened up a whole world. And the benefit of it all is you're just building you're just being healthy, man. You know, and that's and as you get older, it's, you know, each to their own. You know, when we talk about CrossFit or high intensity training and lifting and that, but each to your own. Wherever, if you go to the Y every day and you walk the mezzanine every day, or if you're swimming laps, or it doesn't matter. It's being active for your body and being active for your mind, because as you, yeah, I feel it. You know, I'm only 63, but I am 63, and you do feel changes to your body and things like that. And I believe being very active in the gym will just help overcome things mentally, physically, and it's a great thing to help you get up in the morning.
For sure.
Not at 4:30 when you guys are coming. Like, just,
well, no, you're always welcome.
I guess he's not coming tomorrow morning.
That.
I know. I've already set my alarm for 3:45. Kristen, what about you?
In university, my goal was, I fell in love with rowing when I was 19. And so there was a very brief period in university where I would say I was like healthy, fit. And my goal was just make the team, be a valuable member of the team, be as fast as I can, be as technical as I can, all about rowing, just rowing. And then, when I graduated and like moved into a career, and I moved back to this area, and there wasn't competitive rowing here. Rowing wasn't really an option anymore. And I kind of transitioned to running because my goal was to be fast. That was about it. And then exercise really just became a chore and something I felt like I needed to do, because that's what responsible, productive members of society should do. I've struggled with my weight my whole life. And so when I rowed in university, that took care of it. Like, my focus was on being a good rower, and the weight just like that happened on its own. That was fine. But then I gained weight as my lifestyle changed. And I struggled big time between the ages of 30. So I had my first kid at 29. And after that, I struggled big time for 12, 15 years-ish with weight. And so, yeah, that was my goal with exercise, was just trying to lose weight. And then... it wasn't until I discovered CrossFit through a lot of trial and error. There was running in there. I did a half marathon in that period. Like, I ran a half marathon when I was quite a bit overweight, and it didn't help with the weight, even though that was my goal. I'm going to run because it'll help with my weight.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I discovered CrossFit. And my goal initially when I went to the CrossFit gym was weight management. Still trying to lose this weight. I just want to get to a healthy weight.
And what was that? What was that? When?
What was the magic
what was
number?
That, what was that weight?
Like, I would look at all of the BMI index and the healthy range, and like for my height, in between like 125 and 155 was like the predetermined. You are officially healthy. You're like, this is a healthy weight, and that really was my that was my goal. Get to a healthy weight.
It's whatever you feel good with.
It wasn't till I went to CrossFit and discovered that I loved that my goals changed. So I arrived at the gym with my goal still being to like lose weight, get to healthy weight, but I don't know, a couple months in maybe. Mm-hmm. My goal is to get strong. I love the barbell. I want to get strong, and I wanted to be faster at the Metcons. I didn't want to hit the time cap all of the time. I wanted to learn the skills, and strength became my big thing. And I love learning just in general in life. And so that scratched that itch for me. So my goal changed to getting strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what's your goal now?
It's still getting strong. That's still my goal. I'm not there yet. That's my number one thing. I just really want to be strong. but with the vision also of like being able to do this forever. Like I don't want to be strong when I'm 46 and crash at 47. I want to be strong, but I'm starting to realize that I need to balance that long-term,
the longevity of fitness and strength.
Yeah. I want to be lifting weights with you guys when I'm 50 and 60 and 70 and
I feel the same.
Yeah. But strength is still my primary goal. I still love the learning bit. I still want to learn all the skills. I get a little bit distracted with fitness. I'll focus on one thing for a little while, and then there'll be a new shiny object that I want to reach for a little bit. But yeah, strength is the one that sticks around. Yeah.
I like it.
What about you?
Oh.
Have your goals changed? Let's hear the distinct.
Yeah. So I'm almost 40. I've been working out. Like, I remember the first thing I was a runner. So I've been...
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I was a runner.
Oh, track.
Cross country track. So 1,500 meters. 1,500 meters was my thing in cross country. And so I remember my dad, when we were... Like, fitness was... Like, my dad tried to get me into, like, weightlifting when I was younger. But it wasn't... Like, it was frowned upon back then, right? Like, oh, it's gonna stunt your growth, and obviously it did. So and I didn't even lift weights, it just stunt it. That's what I blame it on. My dad really thought it was gonna stunt my growth. But I remember I was a runner. I did cross country, I did 1500 meters, and my dad used to pull out a bike and he would bike beside me as I ran down the street.
Nice.
And my whole goal back that time was, I want to be a fast runner. I want to try to win the city championship. I think the closest I came was, I finished sixth. And then I played a lot of hockey, played rugby, and I didn't really weights. I got told about, like, do weights, and we kind of, like, our AAA team, because I play AAA hockey, as my wife would have said this a lot. I do this. She's going to listen to this and hate this. But we used to go to the gym once a week or whatever. And then I got to the age where I was like, I'm working out to look good. I hit that douchebag young guy phase.
What age was that at?
It actually probably started around 18. 17, 18 was when I, like, was starting to get in a full douchebag mode.
I love it.
So I got into that mode, and then I realized
that's too funny.
And then I realized I was joining the military, so I knew I was getting in. I wanted to be a firefighter, so I started doing, like, a little bit more focus, like doing, like, the old Arnold splits, bodybuilding stuff, which is, that's generally, like, the Bodybuilding Encyclopedia by Arnold Schwarzenegger. I still have my original copy. I still have all my notes from back then. So I used to do that. Then I got into the military, and I've had multiple training partners throughout the phase. And I had a guy that was, he's from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. And he was a big, like, lifter, like, bodybuilding type guy. So he just lifted the shit out of stuff. And that's when I started realizing, like, okay, what's this strength thing? Let's focus on this. So it was about, like, how much could I bench? Didn't really do squats, didn't really do like bench press, and then a whole bunch of accessory stuff. So still, like, strength and looking good. And then I realized that I wanted to be a Sartec. Started doing the information. Then I wanted to be badass. And that's when I wanted to, like, okay, I'm going to be that military athlete, and I'm going to be the person that never stops, continues to go. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be fast. I'm going to be explosive. I'm going to have crazy endurance. And that's when I started finding CrossFit. And I started off with a few CrossFit workouts I worked out. And then that's where, so this was a switch for me. So I went from, like, wanting to look good and be strong to, like, I didn't give a shit about how I looked. And similar to you, Kristen, is I just worked out a lot and I just looked good. I lost weight, whatever. I was around 175, 180. And then I got into something called Seal Fit. Mark Devine, he was a SEAL operator instructor followed his program for about 4 years. And
that's a long time.
It's a really long fucking time. To the point is, like, I started breaking down in it because, and they even tell you, like, those seal fit workouts, like, you follow it to get ready for selection. So I got ready for my selection, passed my selection. But to your point, Bob, I just enjoyed.
Yeah.
I enjoyed kicking the shit out of myself. Like, yes. Every morning, I never had a problem getting up in the morning. I just got up and I went to the gym and I laid into myself for 4 years of these seal fit crazy ass workouts. And then it wasn't until a buddy of mine, he went off and did a couple of different things and he's like, you got to stop doing this. Like, you're going to break down. So, and then I ended up, found weightlifting.
Yeah.
So this was the next switch, is like, still did CrossFit. You know, I really wanted to make it, had the opportunity to qualify for regionals. And I got told that by a chief warrant officer that going to regionals was like going to a bowling competition. So he didn't let me go while I was on a course.
Oh, nice.
And I settled for the answer, which if I could go back in time, I think I don't regret anything in my life, but if I was to regret one thing, it was just taking that answer.
Yeah. Because
not that he just didn't understand it. And I was willing, I was on a course in BC and regionals was in Toronto. And I was willing to change my whole schedule to fly back. But then military has some stupid rules that you're just not allowed to do certain things without leave passes and you get a lot of shit. So I wasn't able to go. And then the next year I missed, or so the next year for regionals, I almost broke my wrist 2 days before the open started. So I tried to do the open workouts, couldn't do it. And then the year after that, I've missed regionals by 9 spots. So it's like one of those ones where I made regionals, but I couldn't go because I was on a course and then just a sequence of events.
So
then I found weightlifting and then weightlifting. I just want to be strong and be awesome. And I qualified for provincials and nationals in my first year of weightlifting, which was cool for me.
Yep.
I thought it was just going to naturally just happen for the rest of my life. And then my body's been breaking down ever since. I've figured out that got arthritis in both my hips and I've got some L4, L5 issues. And now I don't even know. And that's that I'm in a strange part in my life where I'm looking at longevity.
Yeah.
But then there's the old me that comes back and you've seen it. Like, I have days where I am on fire and it looks like I could lift the world. I'm going to snatch 120 kilos. I'm going to clean and jerk 150 kilos.
Yep.
And then a week later, I can't lift the bar kind of thing.
Yep.
So I'm in an adjustment period in my fitness journey of I'm turning 40 and I used to think I was a badass all the time.
Yep.
And now I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah. But you're still you're still within fitness and lifting, like you're still working your body, working your mind several days a week.
Yeah.
Like, but you're adjusting those sessions to how you feel in that moment or that day.
Yeah. So I guess that kind of brings us in the next phase of the conversation is fitness is... Like there's a whole bunch of different types of workouts, which you touched on, Bob, like based on your age and based off of, where you're at in your body, like as long as you're moving in and you're doing something, it's a good thing. But so we have resistance training, right? So resistance training is weight training, right? So whether it's powerlifting, Olympic weightlifting, whatever, then we start getting into like the cardio. We can call it as cardio, probably the simplest phase. But then that even gets broken down into different categories where we've got, you know, people talk about VO2 and they talk about zone 2 cardio now as a big hit, right? Then, you know, you have plyometric workouts. Like, I don't know, what else do we have? We have HIIT training, we have CrossFit, we have...
Each to their own.
It just... So... I find as we get, I think you talked about it, where some of this stuff, and I think both of you, like CrossFit, rowing, you were a very sport-specific athlete at those mm-hmm. times. Mm-hmm. And as we get older, I think we start to realize that maybe we're not as, this is maybe for me, I'm mm-hmm. trying to figure it out, is we're not sport-specific, is we're starting to generalize and trying to figure out how longevity and what the workouts are to keep us in the game as long as possible. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's okay for goals to change like that, and I think probably they need to, so that we maintain interest, and so like fits with our where we're at in like life phases, that sort of thing. But I think that for all three of us, we've all gotten to the point where we've decided that fitness is an important aspect of who we are.
Yes. Right?
It's important. It's important enough to us.
It's an identity a little bit.
It's part of our identity.
Yeah.
And it's just how it's become part of our lifestyle. So you haven't, even though you're kind of in a transition where you don't know what your goals are, maybe the fact that it's become such a part of your lifestyle, that's going to carry you through until you do identify a new goal. Right. And so I don't know. I think that that's cool. Like I don't foresee any of the three of us ever giving up that part of our lives, whether the sport that we're pursuing changes or whether we're going to, focus a little bit more on mobility for a while, or strength, or VO2 max or whatever.
Let's just clarify. I'm never going to concentrate on mobility. That's probably never going to happen.
Fair.
I'm always going to go to someone for them to work on my body so they can work on it for me.
I'm going to begrudgingly do it because I know it will help something else. But yeah, I'm never going to focus on that.
I'm never going to sit down on this ground and actually do any type of stretching whatsoever. So I'll let you continue.
See, I think, so for the three of us, to your point, Kristen, fitness is part of who we are. It's part of our identity. It's something that's important to us in our life. Mm-hmm. And, for me personally, I still want to max out or still look for what that potential is, no matter how old I am. I still want to try to maximize my ability and still learn as much as I can and not let that number sit in my head and say, well, I used to do that when I was 53. Mm. And I can't do that when I'm 63, but I still want to achieve whatever I can achieve. But that's us. That's me. I think from anybody in life, and specific to aging, it's just being active. And I have so many conversations that I know you two do with, with fitness and our journey in fitness, and people ask, oh boy, you go to the gym a lot, or what do you do there, and things like that. And I always say to people, hey man, you're welcome, but you don't have to do what I'm doing. Like, if you want to go walk around the block five nights a week, that's just do that. Like, go walk around the block, go walk your dog. If you're going to the Y, or if you've got a home gym, you just want to do body weight, but whatever it is it's just being active. And I've read a lot recently in anticipation of our conversation, and that's really, you can read all kinds of studies and things like that, but the underlying message is it's being active. It's good to move weight, it's good to continue to build, because your muscle breaks down. And it's good to move weight, but you don't have to lift 100 pounds, so lift 15. Like it doesn't matter, and you don't have to crush an AMRAP. Just set a timer and go through a few motions and things like that. And I think it's just It's stressing your body. It's stressing your muscles. It's stressing your breathing, and it's each to your own, you know, to what makes you feel good and keeps you active. Because, you know, today's society is we are living longer, older, and it's not uncommon to hear, you know, to hear people like in their mid late 90s and crashing 100 and stuff like that. And each has their own story, but, you know, physical fitness is extremely, extremely important, because it also plays in mentally as well. It plays in your mind. And if you've got a healthy mind and a healthy body, each to your own, you're one day longer and you're one day, you're just that much healthier.
Yeah. Can I go back to what you said about one rep maxes and like still wanting to...
There's like, that was one of the things I wanted to go back to, which is pretty funny. Go ahead.
There were like about five things there that I wanted to jump in. Okay. So one of the things that it popped up on Instagram this week, and I had a like almost an emotional reaction to it. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to talk about this. So... not that he's ever going to hear this, so I'm not calling him out, but Ryan Fisher from Chalk Performance had a little reel on Instagram. And he said that once you're over 40, you shouldn't be doing one rep max anymore. And I did not like hearing that. He said that the aging athlete needs to focus on five rep max at the most.
I did see that too.
Maybe three rep max every once in a while, but like no one rep max. And so,
but know your body. But you have to know your body about what you can do in cases like that.
Fair, but like I still wanna work on my one rep max.
So what was absolutely. His so when he what was his
so it was it
his
was
backstory a, or his contents with that or content.
That's the tricky part. Like it was
like a short little.
Yeah, it was a short little clip. So I don't want to jump all over what he said. But no. I have heard that idea before, though, and I do have friends who have said, yeah, I'm not so interested in that anymore because their focus is longevity, right, and having their body feel good. But I just, and I don't know if it's because I've come to it later in life, so like I'm young in my athletic journey.
There is a time frame within your fitness or athletic career. Like there's age, and then there's like age in the sport.
Yeah,
or whatever. Yeah,
yeah. So I don't know. I just always visualize this graph where I'm like, I'm hoping that I'm still getting stronger and stronger, but I also know that I'm like fighting age, and I don't know where those lines like intersect.
It's really hard to even find those. And like, I know to touch on your point about like age in the sport or whatnot, like, you know, I've been weightlifting for over 10 years now. And I had a good conversation a couple of years ago with a guy named Spencer Mormon. He's like, I think, He started off at California Strength. Now he lives in Ottawa, and he's one of the, I guess he'd be one of the top Olympic weightlifting coaches in Ontario. And he's a strong lifter. Like he's lifted a ton of weight. And we had a conversation where we were talking about one rep maxes. And yeah, him and I had the same thing. Is like, I only have so many one rep maxes in my body in a year. And I just hope that, like, when it's time for me to go, that I'm ready on those days.
Yeah.
And there's some times where I program them in based off of, like, we have a fairly newer group to weightlifting. But I know for me, and he said the same thing. He's like, yep. He's like, I'm only going to clean and jerk 200 kilos X amount of times in the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And there is that struggle where that time's going to get less and less as we get older. And there is a big struggle there because I love 1RMs, I love complexes, but then I'm starting to get that age where I don't love them as much as I used to. And
but you still like the challenge?
I still like the challenge. Five rep maxes are like, what was that guy's name again?
Ryan Fisher.
Yeah. I know exactly what Ryan's saying, right? Because it's better. Exactly. But then when you look at like our sport of weightlifting, because so when we break down like our routine is that we are training for longevity because we do our zone two cardio, or we try to get our zone two cardio in on our off days or whatever days. Like that's mm-hmm. zone two cardio is extra workouts for me throughout the week. Yep. We do our VO2 max. We do our resistance training with like our bodybuilding type stuff. Then we, or our bodybuilding splits or whatever you want to call it. And then we do some CrossFit workout stuff because we enjoy that. And
yeah. Yeah.
Our CrossFit workouts aren't necessarily like game style workouts anymore. They're right. more of like, I look at that as like, we're keeping our body moving.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to incorporate, we do a lot of squatting. So I try to incorporate step ups or one legged stuff.
Yep.
Pull ups, whatever variation we're looking to move our body. But then our sport is weightlifting. Mm-hmm. We're weightlifters, mm-hmm. whether mm-hmm. we want to admit it or not. So what Ryan is saying for the average athlete that's just coming to the gym. Yeah. 100%. Like I do personal training for a lot of people and mm-hmm. yeah, they don't do one rep maxes. They go through a flow of like, we'll do depending, like I try to work it in 8 to 12 week cycles where yeah, they're going to do 3 to 4 sets of 8 to 12 reps. Then we're going to bump that rep scheme down a little bit. And then they're probably going to get to 3 to 5 reps and that's the max. Like that's it. They never go to one rep. And you know, every so often you get the one person that will be like, oh, I really want to test how strong I am. And most of the time, like if I do that, I go to like a 2 rep max with those people and never go to 1 rep because there's so many things that can go wrong. And especially training professionals, when you get to a little bit of an older, or you get older, is I never want to be the person that person can't do their job. Right. The next day. It starts to, as a trainer, I start to look at those side of things, right? Where, you know, when you remember training kids and they recover faster, like the kids in the weightlifting class, like they're PRing every week. It's like, it's the best thing ever.
Noel
doesn't PR every week. He's getting there.
Yes.
He's got a good smile.
That was actually one of the things I wanted to ask you. So you kind of coach from your youngest client would be
like 9.
9.
I've coached the kids when they were like, my kids started weightlifting when they were 6.
Yeah.
And I actually had to buy a special bar.
Cool.
Actually, I got a bar made for them. I think we still have it in the gym. Yeah. It's hiding. I got an actual bar made from a gentleman in the weightlifting community. Met him in a mall parking lot to pick it up so that the kids could have their own bar.
Nice.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. So you coach little kids right up to who's the oldest athlete you've ever coached? Not necessarily in our gym right now, but.
The oldest athlete I've ever coached?
Yeah.
Well, who? 16. Oldest athlete? 16? Oh, I
thought it was talking about little kids. No.
Who brought this kid into the podcast? Just sit in your chair. We're gonna have to. I'm gonna have to edit this out now.
All right. Careful, he's gonna be part of it.
I know. oldest. So I'll pause. Ask your question again. Oldest athlete.
So you coach little kids, but who? Like right up till what's the oldest athlete you've ever coached?
Yeah, the oldest athlete that I've ever coached is probably 70s.
Okay.
Right. Yep. I think Bob might be the oldest in the gym right now, but Bob's kind of a specimen, so it changes things.
There's Bob's
You know what? There's a t-shirt.
Biological Bob's, age, but then there's
Bob's
his.
Bob's a specimen.
Yeah.
But it definitely.
So what? Yeah. What do you have to take into consideration when you're coaching masters athletes?
A lot. Time and fitness is big. how long have they worked out for?
Okay. Yep.
Because there's people that are in that I've trained that are in their 40s that wouldn't be able to do half the things that like Bob would be able to do, and mm-hmm. they're 20 years younger. So background injuries, and then just for me, it's just getting people in the gym, getting them moving and see what their capabilities are, and then building the program, finding out what their goals are. Like, what do we want to do? What are we trying to achieve here? And then building the program from that side of,
your PT clients
yep.
are of various ages.
Correct. All over the place.
Us included.
Yep.
So, why, other than Kristen and I, why are some of your clients coming to the gym? What's their purpose? Is it just to stay fit and healthy?
Yeah.
Trying to achieve some?
I think the majority is. I've got one guy in the gym that his whole thing to come with me is he goes on a skiing trip once a year.
Yeah.
And he wants to be his original goal when he came is he wanted to get ready for that ski trip. He wanted to be able to ski with his buddies, have better endurance, better strength. And so we focused on a lot of one-legged stuff, holding different positions, some basic strength. And then now he's just found the passion. Like he loves, like when we start pushing a little bit of weight, it's good for him to see it, but we don't, similar to what that Ryan guy was saying is I don't bring him down to 1 RMs. We're doing, like right now he's in his 8 to 12 reps. And then sometimes I get him down to like the 5 reps.
Yep.
And you know, he's deadlifting 200, close to 300 pounds for 5 reps.
Yeah.
And even there, like I'm watching form, like there's a lot more communication with older athletes because I have to follow up. Because if we bring something in, I had an athlete where we did sumo deadlifts. He has a shoulder injury right now, so he's limited on what we can do. I want to really activate the glutes and whatnot. And so I did sumo deadlifts. And he came back to me and he's like, oh, we can't do those again. Like my back was really, really mm-hmm. sore. And when I watched him do the deadlifts, it looked great. So I was like, okay, cool. That movement's gone. Let's find something else to activate the glutes and the lats. And like, I still want him to pull some weight off the ground. My biggest thing is I've recently read in the last couple of years, I've read a book called Outlive by, Peter Attia. And one of the biggest things that he talks about is the whole book is about longevity in fitness. And he talks about the four horsemen, right. Of death, I guess, or diseases. So he talks about like cardiovascular disease, talks about cancer, neurological, and then type 2 diabetes. Those are the four main killers of North American society or whatnot. And he talks about like how the longevity is essentially your, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that your whole goal is to go as long as you can without getting one of those four diseases. Yes. That's how you're going to live to 100.
Yes.
So if you have your first cardiovascular disease or, episode at the age of 40, that's not good. If you have it when you're at the age of 80, that means you're still got some length of time left in you or whatever. Yep. And based off medicine or whatever. But one of the first things he talks about is resistant training and strength training to build as much muscle mass so that when you do get those, your body's able to kind of withstand the treatments.
Yes.
Because that's essentially, that's what's going to, right?
Yep.
So he talks about that. And then he talks about, you know, zone 2 cardio for cardiovascular health. And then he talks about, he's got good charts on like VO2 and how VO2 training. And like, if you can do this at this age, when you get to this age, you'll be able to do this. So I kind of took that philosophy on, and it's been really interesting to watch. And you two are part of this experiment. It's really interesting to watch, different people respond to different types of training.
Yep.
He doesn't focus. He doesn't spend a lot of time on nutrition, but what I have found he says it's important, but not like just being in the gym, to your point, Bob, isn't the number one priority. Just get in the gym, put in the work, find work, let's go. What I've realized is that different athletes need different priorities at different times.
Yes.
Based on what?
Based on their body type, based on, you know, someone that is overweight, for example, they don't need to be in the gym as much. They need to really focus on, you know, getting steps in, really figuring out their food, because food is, it's really to say, it's easy to say food's not important when you know how to make good food and eat healthy.
That's another podcast.
It's a whole other podcast. I've recently had someone that has said to me, they've recently started dating someone and they thought it was amazing that person does food prep and doesn't just eat frozen food all the time.
Right on.
I'm like, no, that's what most people do. But then I think to your
that's
point,
that's what most people in your circle do. Exactly. Not in the community at large. Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's where I forget about it, is like the people that majority of people that I hang out with, that's what we do. We, you know, we're not like a cheat night is me going to find some shitty food to eat.
Yep.
But I haven't, I don't remember the last time I think I've went into McDonald's drive through to get a coffee. And even then I'm like trying to hide my head, 'cause I don't want to be in the drive through. Right.
That's right.
But there's some people that just live life that way. And so I think it's, if you're, there's certain steps that you have to take as you, and things change. Like, I remember seeing, Lucas Parker. He was a CrossFit athlete. I don't remember.
Yep. I know the name.
And it would be funny to see him now. I haven't seen him in years. And you know, they did a special because he was one of the top athletes in Canada at a time. I think he was the top athlete in Canada at a time. And I remember he'd go do a workout, and he was a student. He was young. He was a little bit younger than I was. And he would do his workout. Then he'd go to the ocean. He'd jump in the ocean, and then he'd go to the McDonald's drive-thru and grab a couple hamburgers. And it's like, yeah, that's great. You're 22 years old.
Each to their own.
Yeah.
Each to their own.
But it would be interesting now, because he's got to be, I think he's a little bit younger than I am. So he's coming up to 40. But it'd be interesting to see if his body could take the fact that he could eat McDonald's hamburger. Because I know if I even look at a McDonald's hamburger, I fucking gain 5 pounds or something like that, right? So, yeah. I don't know. I think for me, with a lot of the athletes, like, I don't, for general fitness, a lot of athletes, they want to, they're thinking similar to what Bob just said, is they're there to be healthy for their kids, their wife, their family. But at the end of the day, that's Lucas Parker right there. Yeah. The bearded, he was hairy. Yeah. Good athlete. Strong as shit. That's strong as shit. But
Teen Wolf, he was tagged as.
Yeah. He started training. We were both training at different gyms in Victoria. I remember that. And he came out on fire. He was awesome. But a lot of athletes there, they want to, it's longevity, right?
Yes.
In life and health and fitness.
Yes.
But then one of the caveats that I always, and I forget this because it's just never been really important to me, and I've never struggled with it before, is people just want to look good.
Mm. Yeah.
People generally do, you know, as you get older, your metabolism, I think it's one of the points, I think, Bob, you were going to bring up, your metabolism slows down.
Yeah.
And your workouts have to change to adapt to that.
So I had hoped to do a little bit more research for this episode than I actually did, but I did take a little bit of time after work today to look at some stuff. And I thought it was interesting the themes that kind of came up. So I started just with like aging and fitness. What's going to come up?
Yeah.
And in my head, like I'm aging.
Yes.
Right. But everything that came up was about like your definition of what an old person is changes at like the older you get.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So, everything that came up was about like what I would consider old people now. Right.
Yes.
And so it was all about, you know, you want to be physically active so that you can, reduce risk of falls and stave off cardiovascular disease and
open up jars.
No, but yeah, live independently. All of these things. And I was like, those goals sound lame. I'm not going to the gym so that I can open up jars. Like, I'm going to the gym because
I want to. Win a weightlifting contest.
I wanna, right?
And I want to squat heavyweight.
Yeah. So in that, I was like, oh, I don't see myself in that like aging and fitness, the research related to that. And maybe as I get older, like that, obviously my goals are going to change.
Yeah.
And of course I want that for when I'm 80. Like I want all of those things. I don't want broken hips. However, I feel like I'm an aging athlete, but that like
I also think yeah okay I also think it's where you start in your fitness journey. If you've always been into fit like Kevin, so you've always been into fitness,
mediocre just, fitness,
yeah, it doesn't matter, you know. And so it's just part of your life, just who you are. Kristen and I starting in late, well, me later in life for
yeah,
sure,
me too.
And you know, and it's, you know, as we talked about, you know, a big part of our life. But for those aging, you know, older people that, you know, in their 60s, 70s, doctors said, man, you got to start doing something because, you know, you've been retired for 5 years and you're not doing anything. You need to be active.
Yeah.
And you know, what are their goals? Is it to be active, to you know, just feel good through the day, you know, feel good when you get up in the morning? Or, you know, are you getting active because you want to go and start do 5 rep max? Like, are you like, you know what, it's a stage of life, right? And and I think, because I've read similar articles, and it focuses on people in their 60s and 70s and 80s, and what's the purpose of working out? And again, I always come back to each to their own.
Yeah.
And whatever makes you feel great, and if it makes you feel better, and if it's helping with, you know, whether it's blood pressure or just your mental state or what, it doesn't matter, whatever it is. And, you know, my neighbor, her and her husband walk, I don't know how many times a day, no matter what the weather. And I chat with them, and I just like, all the power to you guys,
yep.
You know, 'cause you're just, sometimes it's a short walk, and sometimes, you know, it's been half an hour since I've seen them cross in front of our property. And good for you guys.
Yeah. I guess I just, I think about ageism a little bit, and I would hate for someone to come to fitness later in life. And like, I've only had great experiences,
yeah.
In the gyms and the coaches. But I would hate for an older person to come to fitness and for someone to look at them and be like, cool. Yeah. We'll make sure that you can still walk upstairs, when maybe that's not
right
where they're at, right? So I guess, right. It just hit me that all of the research is about the bar is set low, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna go back. There's a few,
yeah.
This is a big thing to dissect, I guess. So I think Bob mentioned earlier that people are living longer.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'd have to really look into it, but like, our population is a lot bigger, than it was.
Yes.
And I believe that we're an unhealthier population than we've ever been.
Yes.
Because we do rely on...
In areas of the world.
In certain areas of the world, for sure.
North America.
Yeah. And I think we rely on, like, medication to keep us living as long as possible. But then on the same side of it is, I think we're also very unique in the people that we hang out with. So I don't realize that... so, like, I'll use my mom as an example. So my mom, she goes, like, my mom has never worked out. She's older now, and her workout is she goes to the pool and does water aerobics.
Yeah.
Right? Which is great.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's, she needs to move more. She's had, 2 partial knee replacements. And that's her fitness, which is awesome. And then I look at the community that we're around. So I look at, like, my old coach, Bob Walton from the Apollo Barbell Club.
Yes.
The guy's a fucking savage.
Yes.
Like, that guy's been lifting. He's still lifting. And, like, when you shake Bob's hand, like, you're shaking a man's hand. And he's got a grip on it. And you know that that guy has done strength training. And I remember, you know, being out there training.
He's in his 80s, right?
70s, 70s, 80s. I'm not 100% sure, but, like, and here's a guy that, like,
sorry, Bob, if I said you're older than,
And, but, like, in that Apollo Barbell Club, like, I remember going out there and they were all master athletes.
Yeah.
And we surround ourselves with master athletes that, like, I've been told my whole life, like, oh, once you get to this age, you won't care. Once you get to this age, you don't care. Once you get to keep getting to these ages. And yeah, I'm in a, I wouldn't say an interesting time where I'm trying to find what my next goal is, whatever that is. But I'm never going to stop working out and wanting to push. And I think maybe as generations, like, as we get older, and I'm not saying that the older generation is generally unhealthy. I think the medical system has kind of set us up for the fact that, like, you eat, drink, you work hard, play hard, eat whatever you want, and we'll give you a medication and you'll feel better.
Yeah.
Where I think there's a lot of research behind things now where, like, sports and fitness and whatever is really important. Like, my father passed away at the age of 52 because he got prostate cancer, which turned into bone cancer. Yep. He ate fast food. Like, Burger King was the biggest thing. Yep. So, you know, I go from, I haven't been in a fast food restaurant in probably 2 years plus. And that used to be, like, the amount that my dad would eat in a year is probably what I've eaten fast food in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think as those generations get older, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah.
And when, because people are continuing to work out and strength training and resist, like, if my mom lived close to me, I would have her in the gym every day, and she would be that person, Kristen, to you, where I'd be like, let's just make sure that we can walk up the stairs without worrying about falling. Sorry. Yes.
I'm not saying that those are bad goals. No. I'm just saying that, I hope that those aren't the only goals available. Right.
But see, I also think that fitness, like anything, you know, has evolved so much. It's evolved so much. And we're in a society, you know, about, you know, trying to healthy eating and healthy body and stuff like that. But I think from a fitness aspect, there's the technology. There's so many different aspects of fitness. We're learning every day of different movements and capacities and abilities and things like that. And I think fitness has opened up a lot more to the various age groups. And where kind of back in the day, if you're in your 20s and 30s, you know, that's you went to the gym. But when you got to your 40s and up, you kind of didn't really. You went for a walk and you went for a hike. And today, you know, fitness, gyms, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is or the type of workout, but you're exposed to that much more. So if you're 40 or 50, 60 or 70, you can drop into, you know, into the Y or a CrossFit gym or what are they, F45 or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. And be exposed to a whole other world of like-minded people in fitness, where I think back in the day it wasn't necessarily like that. And today's fitness isn't about all the cool equipment that's out there. It is, you know, and the different machines and things like that. But it also isn't. You know, they're just through education and technology and ways of doing things, whether it's just simple body weights or simple dumbbells and free weights and things like that. So I think it's exposed a lot more to the different age groups.
So I did tie those two thoughts together. So
yeah.
Bob has come back to again and again that idea of like whatever your thing is, just do that.
Yep.
Find something you love. And Kevin's talking about consistency, and I think that the key to consistency is finding something that you actually enjoy and that you're actually going to keep doing, and that's what's going to lead to the longevity and the graceful isn't the word I want, but like effective aging. Like, right,
each to your own. Just be active. Be active,
right.
Be active for yourself, be active for your body, be active for your mind.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Thank you for joining us on Beyond the Gym. Remember, work hard, enjoy life's conversations, and pour yourself a bourbon.